Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Now, this chapter is, I want to sort of pull out some scriptures in this chapter and sort of hear, God, what do you want to speak to us today about in your word? And in this chapter, it's talking about John the Baptist, and there's this interaction between John the Baptist's disciples and Jesus. And I want to speak to you in regards to that. So let's look at Matthew chapter 11. We'll read from verse 1. Now, when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on there to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that brings life, that brings clarity, brings wisdom. Lord, we thank you for your word that leads us to you, that Jesus, you are the word become life. And so today, Lord, as we gather around your word, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us, that you'll give us something to repent about, to change our minds about, Lord, that you'll realign our hearts, Lord, that you'll refresh our hearts, that your word will be life into our bones in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. I just realized we've got to play that video, but we might play it at the end of the service. So, yeah. But I want to talk to you today. If I can give a title to my message today, I would call it Living with Awareness. Living with Awareness. And a few weeks ago, we launched a new culture here at Pneuma Church. His presence is our priority. And I guess I want to craft this word in regards to that. The presence of God is our priority, or living with an awareness of the presence of God, living with this sense of awareness. It's so important. I love what I see and I sense God doing right now in the church. And although we've been on quite a bit of a journey over these last few months, I really sense that God is shifting getting our eyes off situations and putting them back onto him. I really sense that there's this second wave, this second wind of the Spirit that God wants to blow on his church and blow on his people. And, you know, I can sense the hunger and the thirst of people that want to lean in to the voice of God and lean into what he has for us. Because how many know that God has got so much more for us? He's got so much more for you and I, for our families, for our situations, for our future. You know, the plans and the purposes of God are amazing over your life. You know, the enemy will come in he comes in to lie, to steal, and to kill and destroy the faith in our hearts. You know, it's so important that we hold up that shield of faith, that we have faith in this season, because the arrows of the enemy, of lies, of disappointments, of offenses, they'll come and they'll try and steal our faith, and they'll try and, you know, cripple our faith, especially in this season, especially with all the stuff that's going on, you know, corporately, but also in our own lives. There's things that are going on in our lives, in our worlds, in our families, in our situations, that if we don't be careful, we can allow the enemy to speak in those situations instead of God. We can allow disappointment or offenses to hinder the purposes of God instead of, hang on, I've got to have faith in this situation. I've got to believe that God's best in this situation, no matter what. Now, I want to look at this scripture. Here we have John the Baptist. I mean, John the Baptist, He's one of my favorites in Scripture. I mean, I've got lots of favorites in Scripture, but John the Baptist. I mean, Jesus actually said that he was the greatest. He was the greatest prophet that ever lived. I mean, so he's pretty significant, this guy, John the Baptist, and he was the one who prepared the way of the Lord. He was the one, before anybody recognized Jesus, he saw him walking past and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." I mean, he was the one that said, "Hey, I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals." You know, he was the one that said, "He must increase and I must decrease." And he was the one that Jesus came to and said, "Hey, would you baptize me?" And he baptized Jesus. And we all know the story that when Jesus was baptized, the heavens were opened. And John writes, "I saw the Holy Spirit descend on him and rest on him and remain on him like a dove. And he heard the voice of the Father in heaven saying, 'Behold, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased.'" I mean, John the Baptist, he had some pretty crazy encounters with God. And he saw Jesus. He was a forerunner. The Bible says that he was the forerunner. He was the ministry before the ministry of Jesus. So he was preparing the way of the Lord. So, you know, I love studying about John. He's an amazing character in the Bible. But here we see Matthew chapter 11. John is in prison. I mean, he was in prison because of his faith. Long story short, Herod and his wife, they didn't like what he was doing. They threw him into prison, and he's in prison. And he starts hearing about what Jesus was doing. He starts hearing about what was happening. You know, Jesus' ministry had started. And John had disciples. And he sent word to his disciples and he said, "Hey, would you ask Jesus, are you the one who is to come or shall we look for another?" I mean, what happened to John? I mean, what happened? He was this person of faith, preparing the way of the Lord. He was, you know, the one in the wilderness crying out, you know, "The Lord is coming." And then he was the one who first recognized Jesus. He was the one that baptized Jesus. And now he's saying, are you the Christ? Are you the one who's to come? Are you the one who we're supposed to look for, or is there someone else? I mean, I don't know about you, but I've had some disappointment in my life. Who here has had some disappointment? You know, like everybody's hand goes up. Yep. We've all had setbacks. We've all had disappointment. We've all had things that happened that took us off guard, or we had expectations that we thought were going to happen and it didn't happen. It might even be in your own personal life or your own personal ministry or in your marriage or in your finances or, you know, business deal. And you thought, "Hang on, God's going to come through. I've heard from God. He's prophesied it. He spoke it out. God's going to come through." You know, back in 2008, a few years ago, I'm one of 11, so I've got quite a big family. And my youngest brother in my family, he developed leukemia, and it was pretty aggressive leukemia. And it was the beginning of 2008, and we prayed and we prophesied and we prayed for healing and we read scriptures and we believed and we had this expectation: God, you're going to heal him. Jesus is going to heal him. He's not going to die. He's 21 years old. Jesus is going to heal him. Anyway, in July of that year, the Lord took him home. And I was devastated, absolutely devastated. Disappointment set in. And I'm like, "Jesus, are you even real? Does he even heal?" You know, and it really attacked my faith. And I found myself saying, "Are you the one who's to come, or should we look for another?" It was a full-on season in my life. And I remember the Lord started dealing with me and started talking to me about disappointment. And I thought, "Hang on, God only lives on the mountaintop and in the good times." But how many know God lives in the valleys as well? He is in the disappointment. He was wanting to teach me something. I mean, I don't know why he took him home, but he's with the Lord now, my brother. But God wanted to deal with me. God started to speak to me about how to deal with disappointment and how to live with an awareness of God. And I remember I was so disappointed, and I started to look back and see all the negative things that had happened in my life. And, you know, I was starting to think about that more than what God had done. And I remember in prayer this time, and God, and I was thinking about this year, and I was thinking about all the bad stuff that had happened and how my brother had died and all this stuff. And then Jesus came up to me and I said, Jesus, what do you want to say to me? In my imagination, Jesus came up and said, Steve, start to thank me. And I went, okay. And then I started to thank the Lord, and I started to remember, hang on, God, you've been good. Hang on, thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being there. And my whole awareness was shifted, and I started to believe again. It was like thankfulness broke off that disappointment, because I was so crippled with disappointment. I started focusing on all the negative stuff. Here's the thing. When you start focusing on what God hasn't done, it starts crippling your faith. So start to focus on what God has done and who He is and how good He is and how He has been there. I mean, sometimes we don't understand. We don't understand how God works. We don't understand His ways are higher than our ways. Guess what? I'm not God. You're not God. He is God. And so, but we can trust that He knows the end from the beginning, and He's at work in our lives and in our situations. So I started to shift my focus on being thankful for what He has done, and that shifted my awareness. How many know that? How many know that's really important? That's really important. I believe we're living in a time where people are so aware of where God isn't, or what God hasn't done, or the questions, why God didn't heal, or why God didn't do this, and a lot of the why questions, and they're living so unaware of His presence. You know, this can creep into our own lives. As I said, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, for all seek their own and not the things of others. We can all be sort of self-obsessed and self-absorbed, and it's all about me, myself, and I, instead of, hang on, it's about living with an awareness of God and His presence. I don't know about you, and I loved what we sang this morning, some of the songs that we were singing this morning. Lord, Your presence is all that I want. You know, help me to live with that sense of awareness of His presence. And I just really feel that the invitation for you and me today is that God wants us to live with an awareness of His presence, not just at church. Not just when we have the worship team playing. I mean, it's awesome. I just want to take this worship team and just carry them around on my back, you know, and live with them 24/7. But you can't do that. You have to cultivate and develop an awareness of the presence of God in everyday circumstances, in everyday situations. You know, I just really sense that the invitation from the Lord to cultivate that awareness of His presence in our everyday lives. You know, not only at a church service, 1.5, 2 hours, it's like, oh, it's amazing. But when we go home today, when we go to work tomorrow, when we're with our families and our friends, when we're in that difficult situation, when we're having an argument, when we're driving in traffic, we have to cultivate an awareness of His presence. Amen. So how do we become more aware of God? I'm glad you asked. We change the way we think. It starts with the way we think. The way we think. This is what the word repentance means. This was Jesus' one message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change the way you're thinking. Change your thought life. Come on, get what God says into your thoughts, into the way that you think. Jesus said, you know, when He sent out the disciples, and He said, right, this is the sermons that I want you to speak about. Are you ready? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. Repent, change your thinking. Then He performs signs and wonders and miracles. It means change your perspective. It means shift your awareness. And it takes spiritual exercises. It takes time. It takes an awareness. Okay, God, I want to shift my awareness away from my negative emotions and onto, what are you saying? What do you want to do? Well, okay, what are you doing? Cultivate thankfulness in my life. Shift your awareness. This is what God is inviting us into doing. This is this massive shift that needs to take place. And we see this with John the Baptist. He's in prison. And he's asking his disciples, hey, you the Christ? And what did Jesus say to him? Say to them? He says, I love it. He said, he answered that question. Are you the one who's to come, or should we look for another? He answered it like this. Look what I'm doing. Look around and see what I'm doing. Look at the signs and the wonders and the miracles and the testimonies. What has God done in your life? Cultivate that. Remember what he's done. Remember how he saved you. Remember how he's come through. Remember how he's gave you that dream. Remember how he gave you that prophetic word. Remember what he's done in your family, in your life. Come on, remind yourself of what God has done. This is so key in developing our walk with the Lord and developing our character with the Lord and our Christianity, is remembering what Jesus has done in your life. Cultivate that awareness. Remember what he's done. Jesus was trying to get John to shift his awareness onto what God is doing. Whenever you focus on what God hasn't done, you undermine your own confidence and your faith in the Lord. Did you hear that? When you focus on what God hasn't done, you undermine your own confidence. And let me go one step further. When you're most aware of what other people's problems are, rather than realizing God has shown you those problems so that you can be a part of the solution to that. So, you know, when you're looking at people, don't look at their negatives. We're not supposed to look at people's negatives. We're supposed to call out the gold in others. We're supposed to encourage others. Come on, come up here, come up higher. Come on, shift your awareness on what God is doing. Amen. We can be more aware of our weaknesses rather than his strengths in us. What you're most aware of, you carry. You're conscious of. It affects your language, your behavior, how you speak. And this is important just in our spiritual lives as well. Are you more aware of what the enemy is doing, or are you more aware of what God is doing? You know, we've all met people that say, oh, there's a devil here and there's a devil there, and there's, you know, there's demonic here and there's spiritual stuff happening here, and there's, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Come on, let's keep our focus on what God is doing. And what Jesus walked around on the planet, not so much aware of what the devil was doing, but aware of what God was saying. What is God saying in this situation? What does God want to do in this situation? I mean, it's a question of priority. It's not let's just dismiss and let's just ignore our problems or ignore the devil. No, we have a mandate to destroy the works of the enemy. That's our mandate, to bring the kingdom of God, to bring the good news of the gospel, to bring faith and hope and love and grace into situation. Let's be more aware of his presence, more aware of what God's saying in this particular situation. Jesus was more aware of his Father's voice than the voice of the enemy. John chapter 5 verse 19, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, the Son could do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. You know, a number of years ago, Ali and I were living in the UK, and I remember we went to a vineyard church there, Southwest London Vineyard, and they were doing some training for their prayer team in regards to praying for people. And John Wimber, they were saying, oh, John Wimber said, this is how you do it. Just do whatever the Father's doing. That's your training. All right, end of training. Do whatever the Father's doing. I love that. It's like, Father, what are you doing here? You know, God, what are you doing in this person's life right now? What do you want to say to this person right now? Because he's a good father and he wants to do good things in people's lives. And I'd never forget that. That's great That's great training for ministry. Just do whatever God's doing. Do whatever the Father's doing. Say whatever the Father's doing. You know, what you're most aware of, you will host. What you're most conscious of, you will release. You'll release over your life. There was a book written a number of years ago, you might remember it, by Benny Hinn. It was called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. He used to wake up every morning and, good morning, Holy Spirit. What do you want to do? Start off your day like that. I love that. Good morning, Holy Spirit. That's living with a sense of an awareness of God in your life. You know, self-awareness as a Christian is being aware of where God is at work in your own life. So, you know, that seems to be a little bit of a buzzword right now. You know, it's being self-aware and self-awareness and self-awareness. But it's not being self-awareness is not about you focusing on yourself. Self-awareness is about, God, what are you doing? Let's be aware of where God is at work. What has he been saying to me lately? What's he been speaking to me about lately? It's not self-help. It's a growing awareness of the Spirit of God at work in you. How many know that we're all on a journey? I'm still on a journey. I'm still on a journey. No matter how long you've been a Christian, you're still on a journey. God is still working in you. He's still forming you. You're a disciple. Discipleship is not optional. You're still a disciple. You're still following Jesus. You're still learning. And that's the question. Are you growing with a sense and awareness of what, God, what are you doing in my heart right now? So how do you live with a greater awareness of his presence in your life? You live in response, not in reaction. You live in response and not in reaction. This is a massive thing in our own personal lives. I mean, how many of us react rather than respond in situations? The situation will happen and we immediately react to it. It's like, oh, no, I've got to respond to that situation. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says this, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith, test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. God tests us. Part of the challenges that we go through in life is God testing us, God challenging us. He's inviting us to change. So he's saying, hey, examine yourself to see if Christ is in you, every part. How do we do this? Are we responding or are we reacting? Do we respond to that person that cut us off in traffic? Or do we react to that person? David prayed this prayer, investigate my life to see if there's any wicked way in me, put me to the test. You know, awareness, self-awareness in the spirit is the first step in personal and spiritual transformation. And it's good. It's good for us. And Ali and I, my wife and I, we do this to each other. You know, we hold up a mirror to each other every now and then. Hey, do you realize you're coming across like this? Do you realize you just said that? Do you realize? That's the beauty of being married. Your partner, in a loving way, hopefully not in a dominion, in a loving way. That's good. It's good for you to hear those things that your partner say to you. Hey, do you realize you're... Sometimes, yeah, sometimes true. Do you realize you're coming across like that? Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. Jesus talks about the log in your own eye. You're trying to get the splinter out of someone else's eye. But hang on, deal with the log in your own eye. That's about self-awareness. That's about, God, where are you working in me? What are those reactions? And am I reacting to something? Take the log out of your own eye first. Then you can see clearly to take the small speck out of someone else's eye. So an indication that you have a log is if you are irritated by someone or you're really frustrated by someone and you're just getting annoyed by that person. Well, maybe you've got a log in your eye. Maybe there's something in your life that needs to be sorted out. God tests you. He allows things and situations to happen so that he can change you. This is being self-aware. Amen. I love I said this, I love this, when Jesus was baptized, it says the Holy Spirit descended upon him and remained on him. Remained on him. The Holy Spirit remained on him. The Holy Spirit remained on him. That sense of awareness of the presence of God remained on him. How would you walk if you had a dove on your shoulder? You'd walk carefully, wouldn't you? You're like, okay, there's a dove on my shoulder. I got to walk carefully. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. How would you walk? How do you live your life if the Holy Spirit is upon you? The dove is upon you. He is upon you. Don't you know, Jesus never grieved the Holy Spirit. He never quenched the Holy Spirit. Never reacted. He responded. He only lived according to the Father's voice, the Spirit's direction, heaven's awareness, not the enemy. Not frustrations, not reactions, not emotions. He responded with heaven's reality. This is the invitation that God has for us. And it is achievable because Jesus did it as a fully man. He was fully God, but he was fully man. And he's inviting us to live with this sense of the awareness of God, the awareness of the Spirit of God upon us. Of love, of joy, of walking the peace and the kindness of God with response and not reaction. Number two, how do you live with an awareness of the presence of God? You prioritize the presence over principles. And this is a big one because, you know, the spirit of religion will stifle the spirit of God in your life. It's egocentric. You rely on man-made principles of the letter of the law. In other words, oh, the Bible says this, the Bible says that. Hang on, what is the Spirit of God saying through the Scriptures? What is the Spirit of God saying to you? You might say, well, I live by the Word of God, by the principles in the Bible. That's great, but the Word of God, the Scriptures all point to a personal relationship with Jesus. A living, vibrant relationship with a person, not a set of principles or a set of doctrines or beliefs. They're important, but our priority is a relationship with the Lord, relationship with Jesus. Amen? And this is amazing because in this passage of Scripture, in John chapter 11, further down that Scripture in verse 12, Jesus said this. He said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. And then further on in verse 28, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So he's saying, hey, Spirit, you know, the kingdom of God is about violence and pushing through and being people of faith. But then a few verses later, he's saying, hang on, the kingdom of God is about resting and being still and knowing that I am God. So which one is it, Jesus? Do you want me to push through and be a person of faith and believe and trust? Or do you want me just to rest in you and to be still and know that I am God? I mean, they're great principles, but God's invitation for us is to live by presence. So the question is, which one is he telling you to do for that particular situation? For that situation you're in. Is he telling, hey, you've got to push through, Steve. I want you to believe. I want you to push through. Come on, this is a season of faith. You have to step out in faith and share the gospel. You have to step out in faith and move to the other side of Australia. You have to step out in faith and into this new job or this new position. Or is he saying, Steve, you just need to wait. Just be patient. You just need to come and sit at my feet. And be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46 is a beautiful psalm. It says, be still and know that I am God. And then the next part of that scripture says, I will be exalted in the heavens. I will be exalted on the earth. In other words, the advancement of God's kingdom is everything to do with stillness. Being still and know that I am God. So it's important to live with a sense of the presence of God. God, what are you saying in this particular situation? Do you want me to step through, to push through, or do you want me to just sit and wait? That's the point. It's only by a relationship with the Holy Spirit can he guide you.
It's the presence of God over principles. It's being led by the presence of God rather than formulas. Amen? This is the importance of the presence of God and living with a priority of His presence. A priority of His presence. God, what are you saying to me in this particular situation? You know, I have the amazing privilege of working with pastors every day and meeting up with them and speaking to them. And I love equipping and teaching and mentoring and it's really good sowing into them. But my favorite above all of that is asking questions and asking this question: where is God at work in you? What's God doing in your heart right now? What's He putting His finger on right now? You know, that's a self-awareness question. That's an awareness of where's the presence of God at work in your heart right now? You know, let's live with that sense of the presence of God as a priority rather than living over the principles. And, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. Let's live with a sense of the presence of God in our lives. And number three, how to live with a sense of the presence of God is a life of intimacy with the Lord. A life of intimacy. I don't know about you, but I love the presence of God. I love Jesus. I love getting into His presence. I love talking to Him and speaking to Him and spending time in His presence. I love the fact that we give plenty of time for worship in our services. I love that sometimes God can do more in worship than He can do in the preaching of the word. There are times where it's like, okay, let's give God more room rather than a person more room. Let's give God more room. You know, the Israelites, they camped around the fire by night and the cloud by day. Sometimes the modern church camps around the sermon instead of the presence of God. Let's be people that camp around the presence of God. We're going to be led by the fire of God, by the cloud of God, by the presence of God. You know, I love this. In Matthew chapter 25, it talks about the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. And there were 5 that were wise and there were 5 that were foolish. And the Bible gives this distinction about the difference between wise and foolish bridesmaids in this chapter, in chapter 25 of Matthew. The 5 foolish didn't take extra oil. The 5 wise took extra oil. And oil speaks of a cultivation of the Holy Spirit, a cultivation of intimacy with the Holy Spirit, of the presence of God. The 5 foolish, they didn't have any extra oil. And then the foolish ones said to the wise ones, hey, give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out. They asked, and the 5 wise ones said, no, we're not going to give you any of our oil. It's our oil. And I thought, I used to think of that scripture, and I thought, that's really unfair. If I had spare oil, I'd share it with someone. I'd go, hey, here's some oil. And then the Lord spoke to me so clearly, and He said, Steve, your intimacy with the Holy Spirit cannot be transferred to someone else. Your relationship with God can't be transferred. Your history with God, you can't transfer it to someone else. You've got to go out and build it and cultivate it for yourself. You've got to spend time in His presence. You've got to cultivate your own history and your own relationship with God. That's how you live with a sense of an awareness of the presence of God in your own life. You've got to cultivate it for your own life. Amen? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You've got to cultivate your own time in the presence of God. And so here we see in the scripture, John. And I just want to come back to that disappointment that he was living in. And I really feel that there are some people here that have been living in a bit of disappointment, and or living with a little bit of offense in your life, expectations that haven't been met. And it's like it's caused this disappointment to come upon you, and you've started to get a little bit offended, not only at people and situations, but also offended at God. It's like, God, I thought you would come through for me. I thought my life would look different now. But I feel like you've disappointed me. I feel like you've let me down. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here, and we're just going to spend a little bit of time now because it's between you and the Lord. So would you just put your Bibles away? Let's stand right now. And I just really sense this invitation here this morning for you to come back into the presence of God. Come back into realignment. Come back to that place of consecration. And He wants to break off disappointment off your life. And also offense. You know, when Jacob had that encounter with God, he went to sleep in the desert. And he had that vision and that dream about a ladder going up to heaven and angels descending and ascending. And then he woke up and he said, surely God is in this place and I didn't even know it. I don't want that to be my confession. God was in this place and I wasn't even aware. I really sense this invitation that God is inviting us to live with such an awareness of His presence, such an acute awareness of His nearness, of His closeness, of His face in our lives. And He wants to break off disappointment off people's lives this morning. You know, the enemy rides on disappointment and he sets up camp. He starts telling you lies about people, about situations, and then about ultimately God. And when you entertain those lies, it leads to a dullness in your spirit, an apathy about your relationship with God, with church, your spiritual growth, and it's exactly what the enemy wants. But today that's going to be broken. Maybe you've been disappointed. Maybe you've been hurt in a relationship. You feel like something hasn't happened according to your expectation. And the reason you're hurting or you're grieving is because you've loved a lot or you expected it a lot and it didn't happen. Jesus wants to come and comfort you this morning. He wants to come and heal you this morning. He wants to come and break it off.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.